for having me. I'm from Matthews. I'm one of those Hudgens from Matthews, if y'all know any of the Hudgens over there. So I kind of paddled over here this morning. But this is what I want to do with my life, is sing for the Lord. This song has a, I think it's going to hit a lot of us. Every time I sing it, it does me. You know, we all have problems. We have things that hit us. My husband and I received news this week that kind of knocked the wind out of us. But, you know, we've got to realize we've got to trust God. He is our boss. I did a Bible study starting this week, and it says, I am your boss. And you start the day with me. Start the day as if I'm your boss, and things will go. And when things don't go right, don't get upset. Just leave it to me. You're not going to understand some things, but I'm doing it for your good. And Hebrews 4:16 says, so let us come boldly to the throne of our gracious God. There we will receive his mercy and grace to help us when we need it. I felt the ache of emptiness. This world could not relieve. My heart has lived in poverty that no one else could see. Until I found the sweet restoring strength that changed my life. He called to me, come and drink, and my need was satisfied. My God will always be enough for the worries of my He alone can fill my cup till my spirit overflows. From a well of living water, he renews me with his love. That everything has changed. This way of faith could take me to some unexpected place. But in all the twists and turns of my life, this one thing I know, where the road seems so uncertain, my God will go with me. My God will always be enough for the longings of my He alone can fill my cup till my spirit overflows. From a well of living water, he renews me with his love. My God will always living water, he
If you care to read along, today's lessons begin in the Old Testament, Proverbs 22 on page 604. You find a pew Bible underneath you if you're in the front row. And we're going to read Proverbs 22, 1 and 2, 8 and 9. 22 and 23.
The cup runneth over.
A good name is to be chosen rather than great riches, and favor is better than silver or gold. The rich and the poor have this in common. The Lord is the maker of them all. Whosoever sows injustice will reap calamity, and the rod of anger will fail. Those who are generous are blessed, for they share their bread with the poor. Do not rob the poor because they are poor, or crush the afflicted at the gate, for the Lord pleads their cause and despoils of life those who despoil them. Our second reading is from the book of James, chapter 2, verses 1 through 17, and that is in the New Testament section, page 229. My brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? For if a person with gold rings and in fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes also comes in, and if you take notice of the one wearing the fine clothes and say, "Have a seat here, please," while to the other one who is poor you say, "Stand there," or "Sit at my feet," have you not made distinction among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? Listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who oppress you? Is it not they who drag you into courts? Is it not they who blaspheme the excellent name that was invoked over you? You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the Scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. For whosoever keeps the whole law but fails in one point has become accountable for all of it. For the one who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." Now, if you do not commit adultery, but if you murder, you have become a transgressor of the law. So speak and so act as those who are to be judged by the law of liberty. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. What good is it, my brothers and sisters, if you say you have faith, but do not have works? Can faith save you? If a brother or sister is naked and lacks daily food, and one of you says to them, "Go in peace, keep warm, and eat your fill," yet you do not supply their bodily needs, what is the good of that? So faith by itself, if it has no works, is dead. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Lord, let the words of my mouth, the meditation of my heart, my mind be acceptable in thy sight, my Lord and my Redeemer. Amen. Both of those scriptures cover a huge part of our living. But let's focus on James. But I'm going to ask you two questions. Now, don't pull out your bulletin, even if you have one. If you don't have one, don't look at your neighbors. What is the mission of this church? Clarksbury. All right, pull your bulletin out. Look in the front. What does it say? What does it say? It's there in the front of the bulletin. Let's read it together. To receive and share God's love through worship, education, service, and outreach. Do we do that? The mission statement is not just a mission statement. Let's go back to another mission statement. Most of us here are all Methodists. I'm not going to presume that everyone in here is a Methodist. That's okay. But let's say we're all Christians. But the mission statement of the United Methodist Church is what? To make disciples for Jesus Christ. Make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. That's not just a mission statement. Not just for the United Methodist Church. That should be the mission for every Christian. Because what does Jesus tell us to do? He says, go into the world and what? Be nice to people? He tells us to go into the world and what? The great commandment or the great commission is to go into the world and preach the gospel to just somebody? I'm sorry, not just people that you know and you like, people like you? Everyone? Oh my goodness. Isn't that mission impossible? Or is it mission possible because we're doing it with Christ Jesus, who can, with Jesus, all things are possible because He strengthens us and allows us and makes us capable to do things. I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. Well, James, the author of James, we think is the brother of Jesus, and he was one of the leaders of the... They weren't called Christians that they were taught at the time. They were called followers of Christ, followers of the way. And that first verse, my brothers and sisters, do you, with your acts of favoritism, really believe in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ? Oh, goodness. I mean, how many of us have some favoritism? Now, okay, some favoritism everybody has, or some, we won't say discrimination, but preferences. Right? How many people always wear blue if they can help it? Because they love blue. How many people wear red? Because they like that. How many people wear multicolors because they can't make up their mind which one they like more than the other? Like our Hawaiian shirts over the last month or so. Everybody has a preference. That's okay. But it's when we prejudge another person because of the exterior. That's when we go astray. And the scripture, it says here, for if a person with gold rings and fine clothes comes into your assembly, and if a poor person in dirty clothes comes also, and you take notice of the one wearing the fine things, and just tell the other one, to, oh, yeah, go over here and sit down and be quiet and don't say anything. Okay, what did you just do? You just assessed whether or not that person was of value, great enough to pay them a common courtesy. I dare say you come in those doors or those doors in this church. I don't care whether you're wearing shorts, a Hawaiian shirt, a T-shirt, cutoffs, whatever. You're going to get welcomed. Why? Because that's what we're supposed to do. We are supposed to make disciples of Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. Now, how in the world do you do that if you're going to discriminate against someone because of the exterior appearance? I don't know what Bill Gates wears every day, but I'm sure between him and some of the other wealthy people, sometimes they just show up in a pair of blue jeans and a T-shirt. You never know who you're greeting. You never know who you're paying kindness to by the exterior. The point is, it's not whether or not you're going to treat all people equal. The good ones really nice because of something you're going to get from them, maybe. Or those that are less blessed with monetary and material things, well, okay, we're going to, you know, we welcome you, but, you know, here's a nice pew over here. Sit in it. We recognize everybody. That's what we're supposed to be doing. To make disciples. So that is the mission statement of the Methodist Church. And when we look at these 17 verses of James, that speaks volumes to how we're supposed to act. We're not supposed to discriminate. When we look at 5, listen, my beloved brothers and sisters, has not God chosen the poor in the world to be rich in faith and to be heirs of the kingdom that he has promised to those who love him? What does the Beatitude say? Blessed are the rich? No. It says, blessed are the poor. Some translations say, blessed are the poor in spirit. For what? For they shall inherit the earth. So be careful who you're judging as poor. We're supposed to do this. Verses 8, and we're not supposed to do 9. So let's look at verse 8. You do well if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture. You shall love your neighbor as yourself. That's what we're supposed to do. But if we show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as transgressors. We are supposed to do something and not do another. So if by our faith we hold that Jesus Christ is Lord and Savior, then there should be some evidence that that is what our belief is and that is what our faith is. Now, how does anyone else know what your faith is? They can listen to what you say. They can see what you're doing. Can they read your minds? Sometimes I think Terry can. That's when I need to look around. And nobody can really read your mind. So you need to show that. When we do the Wesleyan methodology, the Methodist methodology to that is to do acts of mercy and acts of piety. Every Saturday, every first Saturday of the month when we have the Cryer Center mobile food pantry show up and we're feeding people. We have people who contribute greatly to our pastoral discretionary fund. We assist people through funds, helping them with rent, with electricity, with food, so on and so forth. And we have a food pantry that's in there. Those are things that we're doing for people. But something else that people are doing, I mean, we've got people who go over to the nursing home, the it used to be MESPA, but now it's Dockside. I was trying to remember what it was used to call and not mess that one up. But one of the things that's most active in it is you don't stay in here. We can do a lot of worship things. We can do a lot of praise and worship, and that's wonderful. But what does he really want us to do? What did he say in that Great Commission? He says, go. He didn't say, sit here, build it, and they'll come. He said, go. There's another ad out there, and I'm not going to say good or bad about it, but just do it. Okay. One of the things about being a Christian is if just do it is a thought that you have, well, as long as you're well-versed in all the scriptures, just do it, that could be good. But what you need to do is you need to be intentional about what you're doing. You intend to do things. In other words, we intend to feed those people from Middlesex County on the first Saturday. We intentionally prepare the soup and the other things that go to the people on the first and the third Monday of each month. We intentionally go and Fred intentionally works on and Dave work on services for the people at MESPA. Virginia just gets up and wings it every time she sings. No, I mean, there's some preparation and some intention. And my goodness gracious, I'll bet, how many times have you sung that song? That was just the first time. You just did it, right? You just winged it. Maybe about the 17th or 18th time you've done it. No? Hallelujah. Well, it's only the fifth. So she did. But the point is, it's not a trite saying, just do it. Because if you just do it, you might mess it up. Why not prepare yourself so that you can make disciples of Christ in the right way? And how do you do it? Because when Jesus says, love one another as I have loved you, then what do you have to know if you're going to do that? If you don't know how Jesus loved other people, you aren't going to even get close. Matter of fact, you could mess it up. So the more we get into the Scriptures, the more we find out how Jesus loved, then we at least have an opportunity to intentionally win disciples for Jesus Christ. Here's the thing. Are we here? Did our mission statement say save people? Did our mission statement in any way say we're going to save people? No, because you know what? No matter how good a Christian you are, you're not going to save anybody. You can't. You can't even save yourself. My goodness gracious, if you can't save yourself, what good are you as a Christian? As a disciple, we do everything we can to show them the one who can save them. Our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. We bring them, whether in a physical sense or a spiritual sense, to know Christ, and Christ saves them. Oh, and here's the key. He did it 2,000 years ago already. So they're already saved. All you're doing is bringing them to the point where they realize that Jesus saved them. So Peter is telling us not, or Paul, James is telling us, I've been in Peter and Paul here the last few months, so it's really, they're all good. But James is telling us in that scripture that what we're supposed to be doing is making disciples. And how do we do it? We do it intentionally by not discriminating against somebody because of the exterior clothes or what they look like, but with intention, deliberately accepting them as who they are, where they are, bring them into the presence of the Lord Savior Jesus Christ. How? Because you have Him in you. And you're going to act like Him because you're going to be His hands, His feet, by intention. And how do we accept someone? Well, look at how Jesus accepted them. Mary and Martha. Nicodemus. Zacchaeus. Now, that's not to say you have to run out and jump, climb up a sycamore tree. But Jesus saves. You and I just have to be sometimes a flawed, maybe at most times, vessel that which the Holy Spirit comes into their presence so they can find and receive Jesus Christ. For judgment will be without mercy to anyone who has shown no mercy. Mercy triumphs over judgment. And the final, so faith by itself has no works, if it has no works, is dead. How many of you are ready to face judgment? Right now. Here. How many of you would rather accept grace and mercy? Because mercy triumphs judgment. And we will stand before the throne. We will hear, well met, good and faithful servant, or depart from me, for I know you not. Making disciples for Jesus Christ for the transformation of the world. We do it by intention. We deliberately do that. Now, some people are just really great people, and they can do it on a wing and a prayer because they're just really, really good at it. But they learned through practice what it is that Jesus calls us to do. Be an intentional disciple of Jesus Christ Shalom. Our hymn of invitation is In the Faith We Sing. That's this little book. And it should be underneath. There's a copy underneath in the pew there. We're going to turn to page 2149, Living for Jesus, 2149.